and to the general public. Those of you that would like to add any comments, feel free to email or text Tom DiPietro. And first on our agenda.
Let me just give you the deets on that. If you want to call, if you want to text me, it's 914-584-5373. If you want to join the Zoom, email me at councilpres, P-R-E-S, at cityofhudson.org.
All righty. Thank you, Tom. And to start things off, we will have our subcommittee present on the RFP. And, Chris, Tamar, Sydney, Felice, whoever would like to...
Where's Tamar? Where is she?
She? Yeah.
Tamar, I think Tamar's going to take the lead on this.
Okay.
I'll do it. We had a great meeting earlier this week. We have final language, which is good. Cheryl has vetted this, everything that we looked at before and that we've all seen many times. Cheryl has vetted it legally. I wrote her and asked if she would be comfortable going ahead and writing a contract that we could append to it, but I haven't heard back from her. So that's
okay.
So we're waiting to hear back on that. I also have written her and asked if she could provide indemnity and insurance language that we could append, and I haven't heard back. But both of those things will be incoming. We had a great meeting. When was that? Earlier this week, and came up with a an outreach strategy that was broken up into community organizations, media organizations, and I'm just looking at it now. Okay, local organizations and business associations, and then media organizations. The subcommittee divided up who is responsible for getting the contact information for a point person at each of the places, and Felice made a really great spreadsheet. I think it's shared with the whole tourism board at this point, and any additions to it are totally welcome. We've decided, all of us together have talked about the fact that our strategy for this is getting it out as broadly as possible. There are very clear eligibility requirements in the RFP. So, you know, it wouldn't be, if somebody tried to apply and then, you know, thought they were eligible and they weren't, they would find it out themselves just by answering some of the great questions that that Chris came up with, you know, the first few questions in there. So we're really focusing on getting it out broadly. In order to get it out, we do need to have a contract in place and insurance stuff in place. Another thing that we haven't decided yet, but we probably should talk about tonight quickly, is whether Mike Tucker is going to be responsible for managing all of the reporting, which he offered to do. The reporting is just submitting receipts. In the case of the small grants, that's we'll look at the narrative, but he would be responsible for the money side of it, making sure that all the expenditures are accounted for. So in the small grants, short-term social distancing, physically distant grants, that would be at the end of the project. There's no precedent for breaking up payments like we did in this RFP for bigger amounts, but it still actually seems prudent to me, just because we're talking about potentially giving people big amounts of money. And if we want to establish some credibility, this is like an argument for Mike Tucker doing
Michael came up with the idea that would be a good idea, right? Michael Shimides?
No, I came up with it, but I don't think he disagreed with it. He thought we should do lots of accountability. I came up with a broken up structure because as a grant recipient, I find it helpful to be that accountable and to have to show how I've spent money in order to get more money. And so Rob Bouillon, who chaired this in the last tourism board iteration, said they just always gave money up front, but it still, to me personally, makes sense to break it up so that we're not writing big checks without accountability. And Michael's point was accountability is vital here. And I think as we're trying to build credibility for a pretty cool project, which is like funding small interventions across a broad swath of, you know, opportunity, it makes sense to be pretty, you know, pretty, to have people be pretty accountable.
Cheryl came up with that too, Tamar. Cheryl also mentioned that.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to like be as concise as I can. And then the other thing is we talked about you know, if we want to really get this to a lot of people, it's going to be important to make it really legible and comprehensible. And that might mean doing, or I talked to my husband who's done lots of trainings in his like decade-long nonprofit career, and he talked about how important it is to have the language of RFP and like all this stuff that is making sense to this committee as we talk about it is not necessarily like common. This is not common terminology. So we as a subcommittee thought about recording a few different like really, really basic Zoom trainings where for a general one, me and Chris and Calvin hopefully could just talk through the RFP, record it, and send that out with the RFP. And then maybe for specifically targeted at restaurants, Hannah and Kristen could talk through it and talk about things that like restaurants and hospitality businesses that don't naturally lend themselves to short-term grants. Just have two of you as restaurant owners talking about it and talking about maybe putting stuff up in the windows or just whatever. This was an idea that we had, was making like a general one and then a restaurant-specific one. And then really trying to have people inside of certain community hubs and organizations like do specific outreach to them and send them a training, but then hopefully empower them to do their own training with their community. So an example would be Jabeen Ahmed, who's so, you know, she's so energetic and amazing in the Muslim youth community, thinking of after recording this little thing, which will take us all half an hour, reaching directly out to Jabeen and saying, hey, we want to like walk you through this. Maybe this is something that you would want to share with like, you know, either the Islamic Center or, you know, something like that. And just doing the same thing with Kaya at Kite's Nest and, you know, with just picking a couple of point people who we know it would be great if their own voices, like Cece, we were thinking you could potentially do one for Rolling Grocer / agricultural community, where it's kind of like you're translating it to the people that you work with and at Rolling Grocer, support, sure, you know, sure.
I mean, I thought about asking that question so that it wasn't, I was hoping it would be much clearer and not tainted. So that's good to know that we can do that in the circles that we're currently in.
I think that would be really good. And so we could just like, you know, create this little video, but then really, I think it would make a lot of sense for everybody to look at this document and make sure every point person that you would, you know, you could even highlight the point person and make sure to reach out to them and get people that are like, not the same person is going to seem credible in every community in Hudson. And so trying to get the credible person in a certain community to understand it really well, and then kind of put it out in their, you know, inside of their community. That was what we had thought of. Chris.
So I was just going to say that, There's something else that we should discuss about the RFPs, and that is that our group has been very cognizant that we want to reach the business community as well. You know, we all came at this starting with we wanted to just hand out money, and that's not legal. We have to do it within the framework. But I've noticed that it's very easy to envision how an artist creating a mural, a cultural event, how that gets funded. And I've been struggling with, how do we get funds to a restaurant, to an antique store, to a clothing retailer? And so one of the other things we discussed, and I've had some conversations with Kristen as well, is there some sort of a how-to tutorial video that we make, or do we open up to the business community, invite HBC, and any business that wants to join? Do we have some sort of an official tourism board meeting? Because I'm hearing feedback that the business community is looking at this and they're saying, I don't see how this exactly fits. And I want to try to fix that if we can.
Good. And I think, Tamar, to your point about having somebody from each of the various sectors, because I think step one of that is understanding it ourselves. Because I tried to put it out to the business community and say, Chris and I worked together on getting some feedback. And initially we couldn't even get feedback because I don't even think they could conceive of a way that this RFP could work for something that is needed at the moment. So Chris thankfully continued to prod and prod until we did eventually get some feedback. And I think that, yes, if we can work on making that bridge, that'll be crucial to its success across the board.
Yeah.
I had a question. And so are we saying essentially that would be a separate RFP that kind of pulls from the original, but it's specific to business retailers?
I don't think so. I think it's about, Alita, I think it's just creating a space. And I think a meeting is a great idea. A Zoom meeting is a great idea so that business could go, I don't understand how I could apply for this. And then we could go, here are ways you could apply for this. And let's just talk about it. This is totally applicable to you.
Okay.
Here's how. I know we're going to, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I know we're going to talk about, it's like we've had this is our third meeting, right, something like that, and it's like so RFP focused. I know we're going to move past the RFP soon, and that's really important because there's also the question of like tourism, but, you know, a larger strategy, a proactive strategy. I know Peter Spear is going to present something, et cetera. So it's also important to remember that like this is one piece that feels very immediate, and then we're also going to be thinking and moving past this. I'll just try to tie this up. There's one thing that I don't know the mechanics for that's really important. So my job after the last subcommittee meeting was to figure out how to get get this RFP, which is a request for proposals, which will go out to this broad swath and have these tutorials and bridges and outreach, how to get it online easily, you know, so people could fill it out online. And it's very easy to do as a Google form, which is free. And I started down that path. But if we do it as a Google form, and we also want to have people able to submit it in paper, written form, we'll be looking at two different things. Because one thing we'll be looking at will be on paper or, like, you know, taking a picture of the paper with their phone and sent it in. And it will look like the RFP. The other will, a Google Doc then puts all of the answers into essentially a spreadsheet, like the ones we've seen before, which will just mean that we're seeing things differently. The way around this is making editable PDFs. I know this sounds technical and dumb, but essentially, if the tourism board spent $15 a month for the year, it would be like $170 or $179. And we could have an editable PDF, which means everybody could fill out a PDF online or a PDF on paper.
Sounds great.
Always look the same. And for the sake of it being fair, it kind of seems like it would make sense for it to always look the same because
yeah,
it doesn't get weighed in your favor or against you. Yeah.
Calvin, Jane Trombley has a question.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
That's okay. First of all, I'd just like to compliment you guys on the enormous amount of work you've done. I love the idea of the specific subject matter experts, either within the community or in a industry or a business sector that you've identified. I think that's really great as a representative of this whole thing. So the question I have is, have you thought about in the questionnaire, what sort of are your priorities? For example, are the priorities, you've talked about tactical urbanism, you've talked about resiliency, you've talked about walkable city, you've talked about, you know, bringing tourism to Hudson. Does the applicant understand, or is it important that the applicant understand sort of what you're looking to do, particularly in this first round? Or is that a level playing ground and you're just looking at the applications on the for their, you know, their interesting face value benefit?
My impulsive response is one of the reasons that we put a lot of priorities in there was to create a wide net and hope that it would spur creativity. And we're going to have I think that as the tourism board creates and moves toward an overarching tourism strategy for the city, that might inflect backwards on this. And the reason to do it in this direction is because, like, for instance, Newburg, right? Peter Spear, Department of Small Interventions. Is that Newburg? Okay. Newburg has a Department of Small Interventions, which is to some degree part of my personal inspiration for this. And it's the idea is you help seed things and foment things, and that creates energy and movement and stuff like that.
Okay.
Chris McManus?
I'm gonna jump in for a second. I think that that's really great, but I think that this really brings up a bigger issue, and that is that it's my hope, let's see what the rest of the board thinks, it's my hope that the RFPs are one piece of this, that the RFP is kind of a, and I'm going to use a word that sounds weird, but it's a reactive. We're going to react, and we're going to allow the community to come to us and say, here's what needs to be done. But I'm hoping that the board will also take into consideration that we should be looking at where there are gaps and what the tourism board can do. Monica Byrne had an excellent suggestion about whether the tourism board could be responsible for buying furniture for the sidewalks for outside to help restaurants and shops cater to people who are social distancing. So that's just an example, but my whole point is, I think that the tourism board should look at the RFPs as one piece of this, but I think that we should also collectively start to think about and listen to the community and say, what do we need to do?
In the interest of driving tourism, or in the interest of what?
Can I just say what, can I intervene for 1 second? Because sure. I'm a little bit type A about this stuff. Can we finish, I'm just thinking about Calvin's agenda. Can we finish just specifically the RFP conversation, and either say that those questions have been answered or they haven't been answered sufficiently, but we'll go on talking about it, and then we can move on to the next thing, which I think is more, we can just finish it.
Sure.
Because I just don't want to lose
the momentum.
Got it.
Then the question, okay. And this, again, this is just one thing. It's not the whole tourism board thing. It's one thing that we're doing. It's one program that we're doing. And I would like to know whether we are cool spending $14.99 every month for editable PDFs, which would allow me to tell Adobe Acrobat that we could do that and then make an editable PDF.
I think that's a great idea, Tamar. I say yes. I vote yes.
I'm for it too.
Yes.
It's a reasonable investment.
It's a fabulous.
Yeah. So what do I need, Tom? Do we need to?
Calvin can just go ahead and do it. No, not at all. It's way under any procurement requirements. Calvin, you can just do it and then submit the receipt to or whoever wants to do it. Do it. Submit the receipt.
Okay. So then that's great, because that takes care of being able to get this up, and it will be the same whether it's paper or online, and that's useful.
That's great.
And that concludes this little piece of the RFP, my piece of the RFP presentation.
Yeah. One more piece, and that is that we haven't decided as a board how we're going to grade the RFPs. One suggestion that we came up in the subgroup was that we just give everybody in the board the submissions that come in, the applications. Everybody gets to score, but then we have like a time limit. So we're not saying that it's only four people or three people or that the entire board gets a chance to score. And then within a certain period of time, we just take the scores that are in and then make the decisions.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Okay, good. And then also the timing, because we're trying to accelerate this, and I've heard frustration that this is a slow process, but this is unfortunately the way, you know, government works a little bit. So we're trying to accelerate this as quickly as we can, but it'd be great if we could find a way to get next council meeting, which is next Tuesday, but for the June set of meetings, it'd be great if we could get applications in for the informal meeting so the council members can have a look and have a week to consider.
I think Kate Tracy's last Friday thing will work for this one. I mean, we're like two business days from getting this out.
That gives people what, like at least 10 days to put their proposal?
Yeah, and that's just the first one, but we know like Sam Merritt has one ready to go. Stephanie mm-hmm. has one ready to go. Mm-hmm. I think Esther has one ready to go.
Ehrlich has one.
Pardon me?
Jane Ehrlich with open.
Jane has one. I mean, I think that we'll get five, you know,
at least.
So we'll get those in the next 10 days. That will take care of the first cycle. We just need to. And this, the RFP leaves us room to tweak this, right? If this needs to get changed before the next cycle, that's fine. We're just, you know, we're iterating.
I had something to add. I mean, there's a possibility that we might have questions after we receive proposals. So we might want to also just consider how much time we would need to, you know, get back to the applicant, ask these clarification questions, and then have them resubmit or clarify.
The cool thing about it being monthly is that if it can't be, if that doesn't happen in time, mm-hmm. literally 4 weeks later, it's kind of, I feel like that's built into a monthly structure, which is one of the reasons that I think Calvin was supportive of it, that it kind of allows people to have their own ebb and relationship. Is that right?
Tamar, is there going to be someone of us that's going to be responsible for questions if they come in, like for you example?
We the subcommittee should decide that. But I'm happy to do it. Or, you know, we might want to consider getting a separate email address that's like rfp@cityofhudson.org that we can all access so that it's easy for us to all see each other's stuff, which I bet we could get set up for the clerk's office.
That's great.
Sounds good. Yeah. Good question, Elise.
All righty. Does that conclude the RFP update?
I believe so.
Alrighty. So next we have Mr. Peter Spear from Future of Hudson.
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, thank you, Calvin. Thank you, guys. Nice to see you all. I did put together a little brief little presentation, which I hope you'll indulge me as I walk through. Hopefully, it won't take more than like 7 minutes if I speak fast enough. But here we go. Let's see.
Are you going to share your screen?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying right now. Okay. It doesn't show specific documents. It's all very weird.
When you press share screen, does it give you the option of the one you want to show?
I haven't set it up in preferences is what's happening.
Peter, the tourism board works much, much more efficiently than this.
All right, let's see if that works. There we go. All right.
Yay. All right.
So with the Future Hudson events, we ask people to do 20 seconds a slide for 20 slides. And that comes to 7 minutes. So I'm just going to ramble out loud. I feel like I've been talking to a lot of different people, so I'm just going to think out loud. and share with you what I've been thinking about. And mostly it's sort of like, how does the city create the conditions for safe and healthy physical distancing? I've really been sort of fixated on this. Clearly our like physical health and our economic health kind of depends on our ability to transform street space into safe space for residents, and also safe, sort of compelling commercial space for visitors. I'm fond of saying sort of urban design. In the past, I've said urban design is the only form of marketing the city needs, primarily because I felt that we needed planning of basic city services over promotion. But I feel like that's even more true now, as we really do have to share our all of our public space to be safe and grow. I desperately think we need help to do this. I feel like a lot of those words have been thrown around, and I'm certainly guilty of it. And as I've tried to express my interest in these topics and these concepts, I feel like there's one thing I never really come back to, which is this idea that what Future Hudson was really about and what tactical urbanism is really about is about community-driven, participatory design process that's iterative and experimental. It's a real form of planning that's fundamentally different than just about anything that this region has really experienced. Most planning upstate is horrible, bureaucratic, performative, top-down nonsense. And so pushing for a process that's really iterative and experimental. And that's, of course, what tactical urbanism is all about. It has design thinking, which is this process of empathizing, researching, coming up with a prototype, testing it, learning it, trying again. So it's a really open, fluid process of learning and experimenting. And it really came out of, and Tom, you might be able to correct me, I think it was born out of the recession in 2008, where a lot of communities had comprehensive plans, but they couldn't get to a place where communities would pull the trigger. They couldn't get the consensus. Cultural gridlock had set in.
And most
is that right?
Yeah, and most of the plans cost too much money. Whereas yep. tactical urbanism, the whole idea was to just use whatever you got.
That's right. And because it's experimental, you're not arguing over a concept. You're experiencing an experiment. You know what I mean? You're having an experience. This is just an example.
Peter, do you have any examples?
What's that?
Do you have any examples of what that would be? Any examples?
We're looking at one right now. I don't know if you can see this screen. So this is...
We still see shared streets and safe tourism.
Yeah.
Really?
Stuck on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Now we're seeing an image of a street that has okay. Cleverly...
Yeah, let me go back. So... Can you see me changing the slides?
Yes.
This is the first time that we've seen it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Been talking right. Over the the title page.
Oh my! I'm sorry. So
no worries.
This is the design thinking, tactical urbanism, the book. The experiment is the community engagement. This is where I just was, and this is just a one Google image search example of a 5-lane road or a 4-lane road being given a road diet with affordable objects to give people the experience of what their sidewalk experience might be like if they had more if street space was transformed into public space. And so that's just so we have a visual about what that's about. My thinking about what's been going on, I don't think any of this is novel, but clearly it seems like we need to signal safety and hygiene to everybody, but certainly visitors. And that there's real two design challenges. One is transforming, thinking about how we transform all of our street space into safe public space for residents, but then certainly reimagining Warren Street for a safe reopening. And of course, because this is sort of an emergency and there's an opportunity to think about how these short-term changes can have long-term impact. One of the things that we struggle with is that I think most of the cities, the big cities that are doing interesting things, they're just acting on plans that they've always had because they've had a planning department, they've done the community engagement, they know where the bike lane should be, they know where walking happens. We have none of that. But it remains an opportunity to really gather ideas about how to experiment with the street space, how to change the way Hudson moves and flows, and just see what works. So here's an example. Mike Lydon, who's the city I think is in contract with or getting into contract with, These are six different ways that different communities around the country are reclaiming street space for safe physical distancing. You know, and these are all things that we could experiment with in here in Hudson, and certainly on Warren Street. It's sort of a typology. And so the question, sort of, how do we create more space for safe commerce on Warren Street? Just walking around, we see efforts for businesses that we can rely on the creativity of businesses to make it work. This doesn't leave a lot of room for a pedestrian. You can see, you know, to actually physically distance at a safe level. So the city needs to sort of create space. You know, it's pretty amazing to watch these businesses really just sort of make it happen. This is a view from my office. The DMV is, for some reason, is bonkers busy every day. But there's just, that's a, you know, whatever. It's an opportunity for creative problem solving. And then just transforming general street space to allow for safe physical distancing. I've been inspired by the slow streets that people are doing. Oakland, they simply put a sign on the right, on one side of the road to discourage traffic. They don't actually close it. They just sort of make it, they discourage people to go there, and that decreases the volume and opens up entire street blocks for recreational activity, physical activity, which obviously have huge mental and emotional benefits in the quarantine. So my specific proposal, which just kind of came through today, I've been talking with Taya Cool, who some of you may remember, of course, and know. Tamar sort of introduced her to the Hudson community. She was the head of the Columbia Graduate School's Hudson Valley Initiative. I think her contract there ends. She's at a collaborative now called Urban Design Collaborative with a couple other urban designers, and they're calling themselves Design for 6 Feet. And I just was reaching out to her about what people can do, and she put together a proposal to develop a kind of public space guidelines for the city of Hudson to sort of ensure businesses can reopen safely and that everybody can practice physical distancing. And it would include experimentation with closing Warren Street and another number of spatial strategies to allow business to move part of their business outside or weather permitting. The proposal really is, she's, you know, for a total of $5,000, she is offering to interview business owners about their needs, to sketch out spatial strategies, conduct a parking analysis, and propose a process for piloting and experimenting to increase space for pedestrians, and also propose a public communication strategy to communicate the temporary and experimental nature of any changes to Warren Street. I think this is, my feeling has been that we're being asked to do, the city is being asked to do something that it just has never really ever had to do. It would be wonderful to have some expertise and some guidance from the urban design profession. And I'm going to stop talking.
Thank you.
That was terrific as always, Peter.
Yes, thank you.
Calvin, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Peter, I heard that Future Hudson got a Berkshire Taconic grant recently. How does that relate to this project?
It is unrelated. The Berkshire Taconic Fund was for the Hudson Safe Public Health Campaign.
Oh, okay.
Which is going out next week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, while I have you here, I have a copy of this book if anybody wants to borrow it. Tactical Urbanism. Anybody wants to read it, learn what it means. Sorry, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, my question's for you, Peter.
All right.
Is this proposal something that you could apply for through the RFP process, or are you proposing this as an overarching tourism strategy for the city? Like, is this something you're hoping that the tourism board will say, as an urban design initiative, we want to blah, 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 and then help you with this in some way where we would talk about it and then say it's our mission? Or is this like, you're going to, when this goes out, you can apply through that and we can be supportive in that way?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I feel like my experience of the past few weeks is that there are many different groups. And there's so many different groups I'm talking. I feel like I'm making a point to just say the same thing to everybody that I talk to. So I'm not particularly focused on your mission, really. I think that's, I'm really just worried about this. I would say this to anybody in the city. I mean, this just feels like I'm trying to make this a priority for the city. I would love it if that made sense to you. I don't, but in terms of how to act on it, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about that. And presumably we would love for you to submit and then we can also talk separately about whether there's some piece of this that would make sense for us to think about proactively, which is, I know, like our next phase.
It's really important. We've been talking a lot in one of the subgroups I'm in about how you're bringing the community, the business community, the cultural arts community, and the infrastructure piece, which is what Peter's really delivering here together. So I don't know if it's beyond the scope of the tourism board, but it'd be interesting to get people, representatives from all three of those communities together in a room. And I don't know if tourism is the lens or if this is something bigger, but it's just striking me that what Peter said, you're right, is that a lot of us are having these conversations. How do we move from ideation to execution?
Could I just say one thing?
Please.
Okay. I think that as someone who walks a lot around Hudson, and if you walk up Allen Street, you really literally take your life in your hands. It's absolutely so dangerous. And it's the same thing if you walk on North 5th Street toward the library, you have to keep your eyes on the sidewalk all the time because there are unbelievable pitfalls, in our sidewalks. So it seems like this never seems to be, I've been here 5 years, not one sidewalk that I walk on that is really in trouble has been fixed. So to me, it's like all of these wonderful plans, it's like, unless we get something, anybody to apply, for people with strollers, we won't be able to expand past Warren Street onto Columbia and Allen and Union, particularly down towards the river, if we don't get the sidewalks fixed or some kind of solution. Have you thought about that, Peter?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, way too much for my own good, yes, certainly. We had a wonderful, the Cornell Cooperative Extension had a wonderful training session about complete streets, which is a design concept meant to make streets, redesign streets for all ages and all abilities. We had a training session. Tamar was there. The police chief was there. And there's definitely momentum towards the city developing a complete streets advisory council, which would probably also implement some of these. We'll also choose to do public demonstrations, they're called, to reconfigure intersections to just sort of give people an experience of the city in a different way, a safer way, or a way that's more walkable and more focused on access. So definitely.
Let me add that Mike Lydon, the co-author of Tactical Urbanism, is part of the team that's going to be that was hired, and they already have a contract, I believe, to do the streetscape of the DRI project that addresses the DRI district. So not only are they going to do that, but they've also agreed to provide us with a sort of guide for how to use it for the rest of the city. So it's definitely part of the future.
Great.
That's awesome. I don't know that I was aware of that. That's super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Peter, is there any way, there's another, I think, huge problem, which is the city, the lights. Because when you're walking up Warren and you get to South 3rd Street where there's a light, you can't tell whether it's green or red. You just have to watch the cars. And if you misjudge, like I did today, I saw the cars going down Warren instead of going across Warren. So I started to cross over from to the maker, and a car almost ran me over because the light had changed, and that I couldn't see that the light had changed.
I mean, this is what I think is interesting about Hudson. I mean, we're a city in a car culture, I think a lot of cities, they don't struggle with car culture because there are a lot of cars, but it's not car culture because they're big cities. We're a city that gives a city experience, but we're in a car culture, which means cars feel super entitled to do whatever they want. And most of the traffic has not really been designed. It really has been designed for cars and trucks and not for people.
Right. Yeah.
One thing, you know, as we move toward the part of the conversation that's going to be about sort of tourism strategy and thinking past, you know, this reactive small intervention plan that we have right now, I think would be whether our thinking about complete streets, which I know Peter and that whole great group would probably be happy to give us as a tourism board a training on, might be a strategy that we would consider getting behind because of how much it encompasses and how kind of broad it is about all over all this. That's been, it's been kind of rattling around in my head since I went to that training.
Yeah. I think he shared the video. It's a 1.5 hour presentation. I'll ask if there's any reason we couldn't just distribute that around.
We're reading the chat box is what's happening.
That's so funny.
Exactly. Why don't we make our tourism strategy just we can't lose Sydney?
Tom and Peter, I just had a question about
I see it now.
The DRI project. Where are Mark Lydon's plans available for public view yet?
They will be. They would no, they they're be? Not. Because it's not you know, this has stalled everything. And but they are, when it comes to that project, they're really the first ones that'll be doing something in terms of using tactical urbanism to help decide what to do with the streets. Because as you know, as you go south Front Street, it's a complete mess. And they'll be using a lot of these techniques. No, it's not really a plan. It's the whole idea is it's not so much a plan thing as getting out there and trying to figure out, let's try different ideas and see how they work.
Because it would be good for us to know what those plans are so that if we get, you know, proposals that, you know,
oh, I see what you mean.
Some of those same ideas.
Right.
Could the tourism board
yes.
see them
yes.
so that we're making sure we're not.
Yes. If you go to the DRI page, I'm assuming it's still there somewhere. The DRI page will have their proposal. It's part of the, it's called the bridge district proposal, I believe, or this, no, I think we're calling it the connectivity project.
Yeah, it's connectivity.
And it should be there among
but
the
it's
various.
All limited to the bridge district, which is.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Question, please.
Very good.
But the thing I'd like to also say is that it's going to be tremendously expensive to fix the sidewalks, and the tourism board doesn't really, you know, have that kind of money.
Yeah, no, I don't think the idea would be for us to fund fixing the sidewalks. I think the idea would be for us to sign on to and start to amplify and connect a strategy of complete streets, which like advances self-powered, like walking places and biking places, and starting to do these pilot projects which show how you could carve out space for people as opposed to cars. And that would be our role, would be taking this on as part of the experience and identity and, you know, of Hudson, and then the funding for fixing the sidewalks.
A point of information for Sydney, the legal committee has been working on a plan for how to do the repair of the sidewalks. There's also on the city website a means for talking about sidewalks in terms of the ADA. You know, we're under an order from the Department of Justice to deal with the sidewalks. So this is not something we're just tossing aside. So I just want you to know about that, because it's certainly not a job for the tourism board, but it is. I mean, who knows what we can get done given the nature of things right now, but it's on the agenda and it has to be dealt with by order of the government.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Peter.
That was great.
And so now we can bring back Jane in. I know Jane had a few questions. Oh, you're on mute, Jane.
I'm mute now. Okay. This is kind of off the I want to make sure that you guys are done with sort of the meat of the meeting, because I'm going to be throwing another topic out here, and I just want to make sure that I'm not hijacking the meeting, because I was hoping to just do a lightning round on one question. But I don't want to hijack the conversation. So are you all feel like you're at a point where you can address another point?
I think we can address another point, but I do not want to cede the meeting to you and not be able to go back and address other tourism board stuff. Yep.
I think I should withhold my question until you are really done, because it isn't that for the reasons I've stated. So thank you, Calvin, for allowing me to jump in, but I think that the tourism board business should be concluded before I ask my question.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Chris, did you want to add anything? I know you had some outside conversations that could be relevant.
Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of want to answer I want to answer Jane's question from before when we were talking about the RFP, and I thank you, Tamar, for separating it out. I think that's a good thing. I think as a board, I think that we have to ask ourselves, A, what we're responsible for and can do successfully, and B, what we should be striving for. You know, what are our goals? And so the RFP, I think, is great. I think it's really wonderful. I think that we really do have to have some strong outreach to the business community and make sure that they understand what a grant should look like. I also think we have to get creative in what those grants could be. I think we have to think of tourism in a different way. But I want us to also look at a bigger picture, and that's, again, filling in these gaps. I mean, I really want to make sure that we're not saying the RFP is out there, send in your ideas, and we're done. That we have to think strategically as a group, what does the city need right now? Peter just made a very compelling case for infrastructure. I think a year ago, we might have said infrastructure has very little to do with tourism in the way that the tourism board was defined then. In this crisis, we have to look at tourism. We have to look at how do we keep our businesses afloat. We have to look at how do we keep the cultural institutions here so we have a city that will be there for tourism. So I guess my point is, I'd like to start a discussion among the group of what do we have an appetite to take on, and can we start looking at some of the bigger issues and finding a way to fill in the gaps?
Chris, I think that's another meeting.
It could be.
No, I mean, it's a big thing, and to start thinking about, I think it's really, you know, maybe you could give us some guidance about maybe the three, maybe coming up with three aspects or, you know, and as a way to form a strategy.
Maybe it's us saying, okay, that's the flag that you're putting into this for this meeting, and we schedule a meeting in 2 weeks to which we all bring an idea for a proactive strategy, or whoever wants to thinks about a way, like maybe we could think about it offline, but that what I hear you saying to me, or what I would like my interpretation of that, Chris, is like, great, so that's our reactive phase. Let's start to go into our proactive phase. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we can sit here at 5:53 and start to do it, but I think it could be a challenge to all of us to say, okay, now we need a proactive tourism strategy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was not clear enough. I just want to make sure that the board has an appetite to do that so that we could set up another meeting, open it to others. So, yes.
I think it's a great idea. And the other thing that I think we all have to keep in mind is how important PR is going to be for this, because even the RFP, we should publicize that Hudson is being, actually, it is a very proactive thing in, you know, when you're thinking about Hudson as so I think that, so, and even our problems can be publicized. You know, it's like, these are the problems we have, but we're trying to solve them, and, you know, Peter's ideas and things like that. So I think that there's a big part of this which needs to be, how do we get the word out about what Hudson's doing so it makes it look like a very attractive city, which I think is really some of the things that Tamar and Peter are talking about, a city of the present and, how a little city could be in the future.
And we do have a lucky thing here, which is that we have a community of journalists and like people who are really connected to those worlds. I mean, like my across the street neighbor with whom I regularly drink distant cocktails at 5 p.m. is that is CJ Hughes from the New York Times real estate section. And he's the one who just wrote that viral article about how everybody's leaving the city and moving to suburbs and stuff like that. And so I think to some degree, we're lucky in that so much of this happens organically. Oh, sorry, Kristen was going to say something.
Yep.
Oh, no, I just, one of the things in one of the chats that Chris and I were on was people realistically saying, like, what will tourism look like if these businesses don't survive? And that's not like a scare tactic. It's real. And so, and from multiple aspects, for one, a lot of these businesses are the ones that are paying into the fund that we have to work from. And they're also the reason that people are coming. So, and it's just something that we should really just talk through, as what it would look like and what we could do to stopgap it or to figure out a way for that not to be a reality.
Yeah, Kristen, I think you're exactly right. I think this is not a criticism and it's not finger pointing, but I think that as a group, I think we need to interface more with the business community because, and I have a note that I could read from somebody which really kind of lays it out, but I think suffice it to say that a lot of the business community is looking at this and they're saying, that's great, but I'm trying to keep my business afloat right now, and I'm having a hard time doing that, let alone thinking of a creative way to get an RFP. So we probably need to interface more and explain to the business community how this could work. And also just, this is going to sound really silly, but like just letting the business community know that we really do care and we really are thinking about this. And it's heartbreaking that we just really would like to just go down Warren Street and hand out money. We just can't.
Okay. Also, Kristen, what about the property taxes? I think that is affecting the city in a great way. How can we, is there anything that the city can do about that? I think it's really ruining a lot of people that would be in trouble anyway, if it wasn't even for the pandemic, you know, so that's something that, you know, I think is really important.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's hard for everybody is that the city is in as much trouble as the businesses. So it's like, it's really hard to figure, you know, when we don't have the people coming, you know, the city's not making any money either, which just makes it an even harder equation to try to figure out. But these are all the things that, without being super doom and gloom and somehow figuring out how to find the positive, just as realities and really what, you know, what is truly on the table at this moment.
Yeah.
Felice, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, something that just came up, and the HDC did this with their RFP, but they outlined ideas of what different types of proposals could be. And I think that might be something we want to consider when we send out the RFP, just listing ideas that, you know, just helping people kind of start brainstorming about the different things that we might expect or we want to see. Just a thought.
Because I think one of the things that Chris came up earlier with is, you know, businesses are particularly, let's say just restaurants, but other businesses too, could combine their efforts and say, have a special shopping day or a special, you know, so that, you know, if they work together to offer something to the whole community, you know, it could be, it could help everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we all kind of have different ideas that we can just, you know, add to the list, and it might kickstart a new idea of someone else. Because I think when people are stressed out and trying to keep their businesses afloat, it's hard to think creatively, and we can kind of just do that initial idea, and maybe that can help.
No. Please, I think that's a great point. I'm sorry to jump in, but that's one of the things that's come up a bunch is
these local business owners, the small business owners, are some of the most creative people here, and they're people, I mean, that they are the ones that are curating the look in a lot of ways, but it's hard to be creative when you're in kind of scared straight mode. So like Chris said, if we can make people feel comfortable and loved in any way, I think it would really help be a benefit to everybody, if possible.
Great.
A thought on that. Would it make sense for, and I'm going to volunteer myself to begin with, would it make sense for some of the members of the tourism board to volunteer to work with a business and say, I'll sit down with you and help you fill out the RFP? Or is there a conflict of interest in that?
That sounds conflict of interesty to me, but the point of the tutorial is to give that, right? I mean, I love the, let's start a great document of examples, and we all can put good ideas on there. I think that's a wonderful form of outreach. I think that sounds like you're getting into.
I don't think we want to show that we're favoring, you know, supporting anyone more than anyone else.
But the idea of helping in every single, you know, like, I love the idea of examples, and I think we can just start that as a tourism board Google Doc and throw stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's also an FAQ, like, you know, after we submit publicly release the RFP, if there's a lot of questions, we could have, you know, a public forum on another meeting and invite questions to clarify.
Calvin, Jonah would like to speak. Jonah Bokar.
Okay.
Is he unmuting himself, or maybe he wants me to? There he goes.
Just ever so briefly, thankful to be included, very thankful to be included and harmonizing with what's been said so far. The Hudson Eyes funding is on track. It steers a new $50,000 into local artists and local venues, which is a match. It has created 3 permanent jobs, and that we're planning to continue once New York State is safely reopened. And then liaising with colleagues and artists who have some experience with driving the food and beverage sector too. So to harmonize with you all, really grateful to be included today. And just to say that this arts program is thinking economically and also about tourism.
Great.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, that's kind of the power of Hudson right now. I mean, you're seeing the business community, the cultural community, the infrastructure, people like Peter Spear, people are coming together in unprecedented ways. And so I know I'm pushing a little bit hard on how we help the business community, but I'm willing to think out of the box, push me back in and say that's not legal. But I think that that's how we should be thinking. Anything and everything we can do, let's do it.
You know, Chris, I love your enthusiasm. I've seen it shine through for the businesses for a long time on the board here. But I just want to say that, you know, I saw Peter Spears present this to the Hudson business thing that they have on an email system for. And he just kind of put it out there mildly saying, what are your opinion? What are your thoughts? And the businesses were so, like, I don't know how to put it the right word, but they were just like so stuck in a box. And so they had tunnel vision. The thought of closing a street, even one street or maybe 2 streets, so that the ones that did respond were just so negative. I mean, we want to help them, but they have to want to help themselves as well. They have to want to come out of that box as well, because businesses are so many different ways. There's so many different ways to approach business. You know, you can see that based in out of Europe, how they do businesses, having street fairs and street vending, all these different options. But I don't feel like, I think a little bit, they're a little spoiled sometimes when they think about what business is supposed to look like. And I think in order for us to help them, they have to want to help themselves. They have to come to the trough a little bit too.
Very interesting point, Felice. And I think I think that's called listserv, isn't it? And that it would be so good if the tourism board could be part of that and see the comments.
Cece, I think it's a good point, but I also think we have to be real aware and worry about hearing the loudest voices in the room. They're not necessarily a representative of the entire community. And I think that there were some people that really got on and said things, but I don't necessarily, I think that they everybody does want to work together and figure it out.
And these, I think these are such good points. I just want to say, I mean, we're a community full of creative people, and I think right now is a great time to collaborate between the creative community and the business community to come up with, you know, disruptive, innovative solutions. So any way that we can facilitate that, and I think by starting a list of ideas, just of like, how can we think outside of the box? This is a time of disruption. I think that's a great way for us to at least get the ball rolling.
Sorry to jump in one more time. One of the other things is somebody gave an example of how angry some European, shop owners, la la la, were when they were shutting down the streets. But after it happened, because things are always scarier, you know, the idea of things are so much scarier than the reality often. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to try something that people actually might realize that they like, that didn't seem like something that they would like in thought.
Can I just respond to Kristen and saying that I was excited that Peter Spear wanted to talk to us tonight, because I went to that Complete Streets training, whatever that was, a week or two ago. And one of the things that was really striking to me about it is that Complete Streets in this presentation is really thought of and framed as an economic driver. And that even though it is very scary to businesses to think about stuff like having less parking for a few days or less traffic flow, that there's like the data is all there that when these projects get implemented and walkability and thinking about more space for pedestrians and all that, when all that gets implemented, business goes up. And so like one of the reasons I was excited about Complete Streets, and I think in a future meeting, we might want to consider it as our tourism strategy, is because it has clear economic value. There's lots of data showing that it works for businesses. And a cool thing about tactical urbanism is that you don't like have to commit all this money to closing off a lane of traffic wholesale. You just do it for a week and then you see how it goes. And it's just like, That's trying to attend to both what Kristen and Cece were saying, which is like, I mean, I used to have a restaurant. I had a restaurant for a long time. And like, I know it's cooks hate, like everybody hates change, but then you like need to do it a little bit at a time. And then if it feels better, people are allowed to change their minds, and, you know, trying to interface much, you know, more closely and really be responsive to the business community. And maybe a structure, like an overarching strategy, like Complete Streets or something else, would help us do that, because we could refer to it and say, like, we are trying to do this thing. I'll stop that one.
I think there are a lot of good ideas.
And Tamar, to that point, with tactical urbanism, is what's nice is we might all be wrong. And if we're wrong, then it we can undo it. You know, it's nobody really has the answer, and we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Good point.
Calvin, Peter Spear would like to make a comment.
Oh, feel free, Peter.
Oh, thank you. I just want to do, what did I want to do? I wanted to speak to this notion of sort of how negative things can get. And certainly my experience with Future Hudson was an effort to try to, I remember somebody had said that they tried to sort of participate in Hudson, but Hudson didn't know how to have a conversation with itself. And it was one of the conversations I had that really inspired me to try to think about how to have a community conversation. And I've been saying this in all the different task force that I've been sitting in front of, and to say that I don't know who does it, but I feel like I would love to be a participant in a citywide conversation about this stuff. And it feels confusing to me that there are so many. I know why it is the way it is now. And I know, I just want to plug the need for, you know, that this is a real, this is a giant issue for everybody that lives in Hudson. And I want very much for it to be one conversation that we're all having. And this is why that proposal, I feel, for me, when I reached out to Kaya, I was like, I feel like we need some process or some structure so that will guide us through a conversation, but not lead us into a gridlock or a dead end. And my hope is that we can, that this, that proposal, or that we all find some way to do that. And I'm really heartened to hear you guys talk and share your feelings, and I'm learning a lot, and I appreciate all of your, all the work that you guys are doing. So thank you.
Peter, if I can, I think that's great, and I think what you're saying is fantastic. I'm not sure that the tourism board is the one that can bring everybody to the table. If we can, I'd love to, but I would hope that we'd be part of that. So maybe, Calvin, maybe there's a way that we can hit up the council. I mean, how do we get everybody who needs to be in the room in the room?
I think you start by funding this project. Because this is what Kaya Kuhl can knows how to do. I mean, if you watched her previous involvement with projects here in the city, you know that it's all very it's worked. So I mean, this would be money well spent, and it would concentrate all your efforts on this issue in one space, in one place.
Agreed. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, you could.
It could apply for a grant, right?
Right. Or you could even push this. I mean, it doesn't have to be part of the RFP grant process. You could, you know, you have something already. You could bring this to the council next week if you wanted to. Just an idea.
Yeah, I think we should think about this, because this is, it feels like something that needs to percolate. Maybe we could, as a board, decide that we're going to really think about this over the weekend and try to connect and see if we want to come up with a meeting, you know, in a week that can be well publicized and attended, and talk about it, you know, once we've had some rattling room.
Just a procedural question. Before the RFP process, how did the tourism board fund? Like, if somebody wanted funding from the tourism board, how did that process work?
They never funded anything. They transferred $20,000 to the finance committee to distribute for events. That was it. That's all they ever spent.
Okay, so the money, because I know like Jane Ehrlich got a little bit of money for...
That was through that process I just described.
Okay. We got $670 for Salsa in the Sand, which was kind of rained out, was also kind of amazing.
So another procedural question. What would happen if, say, a major cultural organization had something beyond the 15,000, what would the procedure be then? Are they limited to the 15, or is there?
They're limited now, Chris.
We have to decide this. So I think that to some degree, it's like we can go, okay, that's the RFP process, and then we have to have another meeting where we move past it and really think this through in a proactive way. I think that's, which is what you're like getting at from all these different angles.
It's a new aspect, I think, you know, but we already have the RFP pretty much set. So
I'm very dense, so I'm looking at just getting confirmation from the board that like we're not done when the RFP is done, that's just the beginning. So that's good.
We're not done.
Absolutely, we're not done. I have one thing I'd like to say, actually three things. The last meeting we were all at, I brought up Shiloh and the fact that the landmark committee, is the planning board is thinking of landmarking it.
Sorry, I don't mean to correct you, but it's the preservation.
It's a preservation.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right, Tom.
It's all right.
But they're considering it for landmark status, and there's going to be a meeting on Friday, May 22nd at 9:30 a.m. It's going to be a Zoom meeting. But I think my own feeling is that if Shiloh Church is landmarked, and right now the woman who's buying it wants to set it up as a wedding venue, and I think it could be so exciting, it could be an anchor for Columbia Street, getting off Warren Street, and, you know, for that whole neighborhood. It could be an anchor of joy, which it's been its entire existence. It's been a community hub. And I think it would be very exciting, but all you have to do is go on to the city website and get Phil Foreman's email address. And if you think it's a good idea, you can support it in an email that you can copy all the other members of the Preservation Committee Board. But I think it's really important. It's such a wonderful structure, in my opinion. If any building in Hudson deserves to be landmarked, it's the old Shiloh Baptist Church.
Awesome.
Okay, so, and all of you
putting it in my calendar.
Put it on your calendar. And the other two quick things is I brought up the Easter parade with the hats, and I was reminded by someone else that they had a Mad Hatter parade last May. They were going to have another one this May. It was so much fun. It was like everybody could join. Everybody could have a hat. Chris, your hat could go on. Your hat could go on. Yeah, you might.
Oh, I need to do a Pharrell thing. Like, must be bigger.
Might be bigger. But anyway, so that exists. And that's something that's still, that would be a wonderful thing once we get through this. And then the one other thing that was brought up was that David McIntyre is doing a thing on unsung heroes. And if any of you know someone who is an unsung hero, David will consider them to take their picture. And he's doing a wonderful job. And it's on Instagram at Hudson Portrait Project. He started to put his photographs up of people who are working behind the scenes.
I'm going to go with Cece Graham.
What?
I said Cece is an unsung hero.
No, she's definitely an unsung hero. Absolutely. She's on the list. She's already on David's list.
Yeah, it's because he hasn't talked to me yet.
No. Have you breastfed through a pandemic? I don't think so.
<Mm-mm>. Half of Hudson.
I'm just saying, you know, I know a lot about this, Miss Graham.
Yes, you do. That's true, Tom.
Cece, I'm waiting for a smart-ass remark, Cece.
Where is she?
She's muted.
Oh, she's just smiling.
She's smiling. I'm saying that I have no comment. This is not the radio show.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot. Oops.
Thank you, Tamar. Thank you. I think we have a lot of them here that are not as visible. Unsung heroes, and we also have a lot of people who want to do good works, but they may sometimes feel intimidated by the presence of the business community. I think, you know, on top of the idea of having them reach out to us and reach out to the city, reaching out to them, I think they need to reach out to the general public, making them know that they're there for them, and you know, they want to be there for them and for Hudson.
Cece, what do you mean? Mean when you say they're there for them? Do you mean
the neighbors, the community, you know, it can be so easy to take the businesses for granted. But I mean, you know, someone said to me, I stopped by and I thought you guys had closed, period. And she was in tears. And I said, no, we're just not open on Sundays. But she was really afraid and shaking, thinking that, you know, Rolling Grocer wasn't going to be available to her anymore, like so many other places that were closed that she was used to, like, going to and, you know, having communications with, like, Lauren Gramboni's shop, you know, or Two Notes. She was just really, really shaken and just wondering when this was all going to end. So I just, you know, I'm hoping that when we can gel all this stuff together, that the city can know that the businesses, that the tourism board, we're all, you know, trying to make this a love thing. We're all trying to come together.
Mm-hmm. Truly, you know, and that's also part of that is publicity so people can know what's open and, you know, how they can access some of the businesses they love.
There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes outside of government. Mark Scrivo has been pushing for a resource that will help people understand what's going on. There have been meetings with people from the HDC, both the cultural and the tourism, to kind of plan events so that big cultural institutions aren't planning events that compete with each other, but it's kind of air traffic control. So there's a lot that's going on already. Jonah graciously put a resource on the chat box. So we should be looking at what's out there as well. And to your point, Sydney is taking all of that and then adding the PR component on top of it. How do we promote the heck out of it?
Yeah, and inform people in Hudson too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. With an immediate priority on people from Hudson.
Yeah. Thank you, Cece.
Oh, alrighty. So essentially that was the agenda. it was you know, it's always fruitful. So it was a great meeting. And so, essentially, if there, oh, go ahead, Tom.
One last thing, Jane had to leave. She said her questions can wait till the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. And so, any closing remarks for anyone?
I'll get the PDF thing sorted out with Calvin, and then move forward with that. Sorry about all the noise. We can move past the RFP stuff now. It sounds like we're in a good spot. I will continue to work it out with Cheryl, and I won't do anything without telling everybody via email.
Sounds like a plan.
Great.
And then should we move forward and try to find a time where we could have the tourism board meet with business community?
Businesses. Cultural. Absolutely. Yep.
When is just logistically for everybody, like, when is good timing for that? I mean, like, is that a week away? Is it 2 weeks away? Is it?
Chris, are you talking about the strategy? Or are you talking about something different, having a meeting with businesses? It's two different things, right?
I think that there are two different things. And I just think that it would be helpful for us to have a meeting with the business community, invite cultural, invite Peter Spear and others involved in infrastructure, and just listen. I don't think that we should present anything. I think we should say, we hear that there are concerns on what's going on in the city. How can we help?
That would be great. And they could come and talk to us.
We just sit back and absorb.
Okay.
And so are you asking when we should coordinate that that meeting?
Yeah, I'm wondering if we could schedule something or come up with a plan. We can schedule it offline, but just to give everybody ample time, because I think that would be fairly well attended.
Oh, I think it wouldn't. Was told that Chuck Rosenthal had a lot of ideas that he would like to tell us, which would be so good to hear.
I'd love to hear that, absolutely.
And it's up to the board. We can take a bit of time to coordinate that date and time, or we can do that offline.
Does everybody feel like a week is pushing? I'm trying to move quickly, but I'm also trying not to move too quickly. And also everyone has lots of meetings, but is a week doing this like sometime next week or the early after?
I would vote for maybe 2 weeks, just because I want to make sure that we finalize the RFP and get that out. And I'm sure that we'll get a lot of feedback once it's out and essentially questions that we can address with the business community as well. So
good idea.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I like that notion. 2 weeks. I think, that would serve everyone well. And so are we thinking, do we want to keep it to like 2 weeks from today or earlier in the week?
Would it be Friday?
Even though people aren't open, I think people are also just fully spent by Friday.
Understandable. All right, so.
Excuse me, you guys, I'm really sorry. I have to run, but I totally agree with everything that you're saying, and I'm thankful and on board, but I have to go.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, so how about
Thursday? Would a Thursday night work? For everybody?
Would Chris, that be better? Yeah, I think Thursday would definitely be better than Friday. It's just that mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Friday, I mean, this is cocktail o'clock right now, isn't it?
Make it after 6, please. Because CC has a radio show, I hear.
That's important.
I'm going to head out, too. Thank you so much, all of you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
May 28th at 7.
Sounds good.
That sounds doable.
May 28th at 7.
He's choking me. Carmen, cut it out, Carmen.
I haven't seen her for a while.
I'm sorry. I have to run too, guys. But thank you so much for a great meeting.
Thank you too, please.
Thank you, Calvin.
Please, bye.
Thank you.
CC, we need to have a live cam of you, like, just playing with your kid.
It would be crazy, Chrissy. She's over there somewhere getting into something. Say hi, Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Was that your bunker over there?
Bunker?
Yeah, that thing to the left.
That's the front gate. What bunker?
That silver thing to the left. Your right. Never mind.
Luis's famous